Welcome back to Pack Mentality. I'm Matt Bamwart. My wife, Caitlin, and I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. And we start this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Today, we have a special guest, Sharon, on the podcast. She's going to tell us all about her fitness journey. She's dealt with a lot over the years, has been a member of Red Wolf for, 7 years now?
Five?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it's been longer.
It does feel, I feel like I've been around for a while. You know, we had started at the old place, now over here. Okay. So it's been five.
Okay. Got it. Great. So let's dive right in, shall we?
Right on.
All right. So today, Sharon and I will be talking about kind of what got her fitness journey started in the first place. We're also going to be going over, she's dealt with some injuries in the past and how she kind of overcame that. I love your tenacity, especially with dealing with some of the injuries you've dealt with. So we'll dive into that especially, but let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Okay.
All right. Good to have you. So what motivated you to start with Red Wolf in the first place?
Yeah, I was at a different CrossFit gym, been there for 2 years. They totally changed the program, dropped their affiliate with CrossFit, and they went into completely different programming, which I think kind of threw everything into a tailspin for me because there was no consistency. My workouts weren't as consistent or as intense as they had been. Never knew what to expect from the programming. And because they weren't open on Sundays, and I would come in and do kind of an open gym on a Sunday, that it just felt a little chaotic. And then throw that into, I traveled for a living. I just wasn't getting what I wanted to out of my workouts. So a friend of mine who was at the same gym said, I'm going to go check out CrossFit Red Wolf. And I'm like, Where is that the one over on Gotham? You can see, yeah, so it's really right down the street. Went in on a Sunday, and it's like, wow. You know, the coach she was on at the time was really attentive. The programming seemed very solid CrossFit programming, but I love the attention level that each of the members in the class were getting, and that kind of did it for me.
Okay.
I mean, from there on, and I think I signed up like a week later.
Okay. Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. That was easy.
That was easy.
What were some things that, you know, that you get here that you weren't getting there specifically?
Yeah, specifically, the tension in the class to form, which was really, really important because I had established a lot of bad habits in my prior gyms.
Okay, got it.
And I didn't know how bad they were until I got to Red Wolf because it didn't matter who was coaching at the time. It would be like, okay, shoulders back, elbows up, you know, and just doing a lot of cues. And I was like, wow, I really was just not doing this the right way and getting the most out of it that I possibly could.
So pretty much you weren't getting coached.
I wasn't getting coached. Okay. We'll cut to the chase.
So you came to Red Wolf and then you were like, oh, I'm actually being corrected. And then the coaches are actually doing their job. Well,
I think I didn't know how good it was because I didn't know what I wasn't getting at the other gym, because that was my first foray into CrossFit. I had done other things previously, and I was like, okay, I guess this is the way it's supposed to be. And then, so there were some classes where there was no coach because for, you know, personal reasons somebody couldn't attend to, so we would just kind of do our own thing.
Really?
Yeah, I know, it sounds kind of crazy.
That is insane. And you paid for this.
Yeah, I did. I think that's why I started looking for alternatives.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And this is actually one, and I'd hate to say it, but this is common practice at other CrossFit gyms, not just the one you were at, but I see this all the time. And this is specifically why I don't drop into gyms. I don't even bother because I'm like, I'm not going to pay money to do something that's going to be worse at my own gym when I can go do my programming at somewhere else. I travel.
And it wasn't that way to start with, but that's the way it ended up with, because circumstances about the owner, you know, kind of faded out and turned over hands, and then it just kind of came unwrapped.
Just kind of deteriorated.
Yeah.
That's so sad. I hate it. There's so many stories I hear from other people like that.
Yeah.
You know, I even still have people who, I mean, I know you joined over five years ago, but, you know, I hear the same story from other people when they come from other gyms and they have all these kind of horror stories, not necessarily super bad, but like they weren't getting enough attention. The coaches only coach certain people. They were super nice at first, but then over time that they just kind of became a number to them. And like this is very common that I hear all the time. And I actually have other CrossFitters who will join and they'll be kind of even reluctant to like even get back into CrossFit because of the experiences they've had before.
Yeah.
And so this is why we do work so hard at the gym to try and give people a much better experience. And, you know, I hope we're accomplishing that. All right. Let's dig into the next question, shall we? That was good. So we kind of got a background on there. So I know you have a very demanding job. You travel a lot. You mentioned that earlier. So how do you balance your fitness routine with your work schedule?
I have to schedule for it. You know, if I don't schedule it in advance, every week on a Sunday, I send Caitlin an email. Said, here's, because I have individual programming as well as every once in a while I'll do classes. Mm-hmm. But if I don't tell her, like, okay, this Tuesday is a travel day, I'm off. Two days in a hotel. Here's where I'm going to be back in the gym. I plan that not only with her so she knows how to program for me, mm-hmm. but how I, what my mental, I say my mental state has to be on each of those days. So yeah. When do I have to wake up? When do I have to be prepared? And schedule it every single day. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I can be successful when I do, because if I just kind of woke up and showed up, I wouldn't be able to get in what I need to that day, as well attend to my work and family when I'm in town, and it just becomes way too compact, and something's got to give, so I have to plan it.
Yeah, no, so planning ahead is a huge thing for you and yeah. Making sure that your schedule is aligned. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense. Is that something that you're always good at doing, or is this something you kind of learned as you kind of progress in your career?
I've always had fairly demanding jobs and have been traveling since probably 2007 for my job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so for me, it's always been something that I planned into my life so that I could get done what I needed to get done and take care of my fitness, take care of my health. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to. Something has to give if you don't plan it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 100%. No, I agree with you. Now that I've gotten older, it's like, yeah, I have to be much better.
For sure.
At planning. Tell us about like what you've done for work over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, for work?
Yeah. Okay. Tell us a bit about your background for work.
I've worked in retail my entire career and okay. and for field leadership for the past 20, almost 25 years. I'm actually along in the 30 years of field leadership role at the regional level since 2007. So at some points I've had half the country in this current role. I actually cover the entire country.
Wow.
for Pete's Coffee.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's wonderful because you get to experience other parts of the country. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's interesting, it's fun, but it also can be exhausting, and yeah. You have to take care of yourself. And I think that for me, why fitness is so important, I've always had fitness to one degree or another, whether it's been triathlon, short course, or it's been boot camp, or it's been on my own. I've always had something that I can rely upon to get me past, keep me in shape for a rigorous work schedule, a travel schedule, because you go south pretty fast sitting on planes and sitting in cars for hours upon end. Then you stand up and you feel like you got hit by a bus. No.
Yeah, totally. So let's dive more into that. Yeah. So what do you specifically, like, tell us about what your day-to-day looks like and what do you specifically do for Pete's and all that?
Well, I oversee their field leadership. I have 7 district managers who report to me across the country in Southern California. So if I'm local, I'm getting in a car and driving to markets and spending time with my district leaders and the store manager, management team, making sure that we're operating correctly, making sure we're, you know, customer service forward, as well as producing great coffee drinks, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the high quality. So there's demand for that. And because we are a food service industry, that we have a lot of food service types of things that we have to make sure hygiene and quality, and where we get tested by the food and beverage department. So there's always something to look at, but mostly it's around people because we're a people business. So it's motivating and supervising and leading individuals to achieve what our goals are for as an organization.
Okay, that's awesome. So you're in a leadership role. You're managing people. You're pretty high up then, obviously. That's good. So tell us more about like some lessons you've learned over, you know, over all these years of being, you know, in that position, and, you know, give everyone some advice on leadership.
Wow. Okay. So I think from a leadership capacity, is it that you can't carry people across the finish line. I always tell this all the time. How far do you want to carry your team, or do you want to help your team grow enough as their leadership skills to get them to be where they need to be successful? Mm-hmm. Because they have to want it more than you, or at least as much as you do, and usually more, because if they can't be self-motivating, you're not going to get them there.
Yeah.
And they have to work hard, if not harder than you, at this. They have to work on their personal skills. They have to be able to, I'd say probably, when you leave them a plan or you're working on a plan together, they have to have that a level of ownership in it, mm-hmm. or skin in the game to want to succeed, because nothing that I can do or you can do are going to get them there. They have to help get themselves there.
Yeah. So basically they have to be proactive in their approach. Yeah. They can't be passive in this at all.
No, they're you can't be passive. It starts with hiring the right people, but if, you know, and you can't motivate somebody to succeed without them being part of the game. Mm-hmm. They have to want it. They have to want to work for it and have the same, want to accomplish the same goals that you're looking to achieve.
Okay. Got it. No, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, let's kind of bring this back to fitness. Like, so you being up there a high level in Pete's and being in a leadership role, what is some things that you all see that directly correlates to fitness in terms of people actually achieving those goals and being proactive in that?
Sure.
Or you can even talk about how it applies to you directly you approach your fitness.
Sure. Knowing that every day when you work with people, there's going to be crazy stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Right? It's whether there's drama, whether there's a difficult thing you have to accomplish in the organizational goals, things pop up during the day or over the course of a week that are really hard. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you shy away from them. I think just, you know, when you look at fitness and you're looking at a workout and intensity, and you want to say, oh God, this is going to be terrible. Or during the middle of the workout, you want to stop, but you don't, because when you go that extra mile and you accomplish something that was incredibly difficult, there's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of motivation to do it the next time, and to know that I can do difficult things. Mm-hmm. And just because you come upon difficult things at work, there's no need to step back and say, you know, this is going to really be bad and sucky. So like, let's kind of step back from it. You know, we push through obstacles every single day to success. And I think that when you do CrossFit, it's definitely the same thing. You push through obstacles during a WOD that's really difficult and get to the end of that, and there's an accomplishment of, we can do that again tomorrow.
That's awesome. And would you say that, you know, this CrossFit style or this intensity of training that you do helps you in that position that you have?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Because again, it builds your confidence to come upon obstacles every single day and push through them to success. And knowing that some days are going to be better than others, but you just keep moving forward and letting your team know that your confidence in them and yourself will help them get to our business goals as a team.
Oh, that's awesome. Fantastic. And another follow-up question to that is, do you see a direct correlation between people who are successful and that they actually do pay attention to their health and fitness? Or is that something you even notice?
You know, I think that when I see others, especially, you know, whether it be my peer group or when I go to the home office and spend time with, you know, the people who are do fit levels of fitness, whether it's CrossFit, we'll get in conversations. Oh, I've done CrossFit before, or I do marathons or whatever it may be. You can tell there's a sense of planning. Number one, we all have to plan this into our lives. It doesn't come up just randomly, like, okay, I'll go out this morning and run 10 miles, but I only have 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Or I have to go to an hour class and I really only have, 45 minutes. So you're planning that in. It helps you plan your days with work and see forward to directionally, whether it is. I have to see a week out, sometimes 2 weeks out, to know how I'm going to fit things in, as well as my, you know, what my business plan is going to be for the next couple of weeks and what my travel plans look like and what do I want to accomplish? And the same thing I come upon with some of my peers or people in the office to say, I do exactly the same thing. And they're tenacious. They get things done. They're fun to talk to because they share a common vision, organization, as well as health-wise. Like, you know, I had this one gentleman who I work with in facilities. He's like he sent me a picture of one of his protein bars that he had tried, because we played swap the protein bars. Well, nice. Time to work. I said, dude, if you're missing a meal, this one's great. And next time I came to the office, he gave me one. So you know that it's something that people who are thinking about what next looks like, they don't miss a meal, or they're not missing a workout, or they're getting the most out of what they do every single day.
Yeah, that's awesome. So everybody listening, as you hear that they're high achievers work out.
I think so.
In a nutshell. And also that, you know, we're all pressed for time. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do, is that we're all struggling with time and the best way to do it. And we know we've repeated this before. And then Sharon's not the only person to say this on the podcast, but plan ahead, fit into your schedule. And I mean, obviously it's important to you.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is fitness to you?
It's a 10.
I can tell because you are here a lot. I always see you. When you're not traveling, you're at the gym.
Yeah, no, you'd be surprised how much you can fit into a schedule. You know, I have a family. I have a wife and 2 kids.
Yep.
I'm at work. I'm traveling. I have home office time. And I'm at the gym 6 days a week. So it's figuring out what those slices of time are, whether it's get up at, you know, 5:30 to get to the gym by 7 for her open gym.
Yep.
I'm there, you know, and I think that's to the level you can prioritize whatever you want to do with your time. If it's important to you, you're going to fit it in.
Exactly. So no more. I don't want to hear any more excuses from all of you who are listening to this that you don't have time.
Well, and you know, look, at the end of the day, like, you know, we all have moments where we get up and go like, oh, man, I do not want to go.
Today, I had that today. I did not want to do this triathlon that we had. And I was like, of all the workouts I don't want to do, I don't want to do this one. And I wasn't even yesterday, I told people, I'm like, I'm not doing it. And then, of course, I got suckered in. And I figure out a way to get it in. It was fun.
I think you threw a barbell in there just to get everybody into the, the deadlift, just to make sure people came.
No comment.
We're not just going to run.
Yeah, we're not just going to run. No, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, and I think that any time that, you know, the hackneyed saying of CrossFit meets you anywhere you are today is so true. Like, you know, you can come in and say, looking at the workout and going, oh, man, I just do not want to do that particular move. Or I can't, the RX is 35-pound dumbbell, and I think I can only do 25. I'll do 25.
Yeah.
I pull a 25 and a 35, and sometimes I surprise myself. I'll be like, oh, no, okay, it's a better day than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And cast the lighter one aside and just grab the heavier one. But just move. Just, you know, just get in there and move and do something, even if it's not to your expectation. By the time I leave, I feel so much better.
No, 100%. 100%. There's so many days, especially recently, where I've been like, I really don't want to do this. I'm tired. I have so much work to do. I'm hungry. I just like when the list is in your head and you have all these things hanging over your head, you're like, well, I got to do this stuff. But you're like, no. And then I force myself to work out. And then guess what? I sacrificed that hour where I could have done a lot of work and been productive. I'm 10 times more productive afterwards.
Exactly.
And so it doesn't even matter. Like, I make up for it anyways. And also I'm a lot happier and nicer to be around.
And more, oh, there's that.
not as angry.
This all's a meeting. Yeah, for sure. I'm much more focused for the rest of the day after I work out. This is to get the blood flow to the brain.
Yeah. Kind of coming back to the time component, what's some advice that you would give to people who do make that excuse that like, oh, I just don't have time, Sharon, to work out? What would you tell them?
I think I would ask them, how important is working out? Is your health important? Where do you place that priority? Because if you find something important, you're going to make time for it.
Yes, 100%.
Rather than making excuses for it.
Yeah.
And if they were somebody who was in my sphere of employment, you know, I would ask them what they're most, you know, what do they value? What are the top three things they value, and how do they make time for those things? And where do they fit fitness and health into that equation? And if it's just as high up, then I would challenge them to go back in and look at their schedule and say, how would you fit it in?
Yeah. No, 100%. I remember one time, I think I was whining to Caitlin about how I didn't have time to like work out today. And she goes, look, she's like, give me your phone. And she looked down the settings of it and was like, hey, you spend an average of 2 hours, 2.5 hours a day on Instagram. So I just found you time to work out. That's more enough time to work out. I'm like,
she said the media shamed you.
I know. I'm like, well, how do I have time to make stuff like this? no, that's awesome. Okay. Fantastic. So, you know, with CrossFit, we do talk a lot about community a lot. So, you know, how does, you know, specifically the Red Wolf community kind of support you and help you maintain your fitness over the last 5 years?
Well, starting with you and Caitlin, I do the individual programming as well as hop into classes just because my schedule is so erratic and not even erratic. It's my schedule is just full.
Yeah.
and I don't always get to a class because of my schedule. So I'll come into open gym and have a full level of workout that will often mimic what the watt of the day is, as well as accessory work. So from a support standpoint, you know, you and Caitlin have supported me in what I personally need for my for my fitness level. And that's not something that a lot of gyms will do for you, even if you're, you know, paying for it or not, which I do. But the intention behind this, the what I get from the programming is awesome. Like whether it's I'm competing in a competition or just have certain goals in mind, my programming from you guys is spot on, as well as fully intentional where I want to get to. So from that, then support from you guys is amazing. What I get from the community is, you know, I think that when you come into the gym and you feel the vibe and you feel the energy and you're talking to the members who I don't always see every day because I'm in different times of the day. But I see everybody, typically the same people on the weekends, which is great. It's a lot of excitement. And when I do get the chance, if it's programmed in, I do one of the classes, it's like killer.
Yeah,
it really is.
Today.
It's like, you know, I'm pretty competitive but I usually compete against myself often, and be able to, you know, benchmark off of others in the class and really be pushed by some of the other class members is really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you just get the best out of yourself. So it's a great supportive community in that everybody, you know, when I had shoulder surgery, everybody was so so positive and uplifting, and I would come in there in a sling working out, and they're like, you know, hey, you know, way to go.
Yeah.
Great to see you here, and get better, you know, get well soon. And it was really uplifting for me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for the compliment. And, you know, the community is very supportive, and that's one thing that we emphasize here is, you know, we lead with positivity and making sure that, you know, everyone, you know, gets their goals and are individuals within a collective group setting. So that way everyone gets exactly what they need. And they also get that, the motivation from that as well. Cause sometimes, you know, the environment can really make or break how motivated you really are to actually perform the exercise in the first place.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of digging into that, you brought up the injury. So it's something I want to talk about. So, walk us through that. So tell us how it happened, you know, what's going on since then. And because I mean, a lot of people will get like even something minor, way less than yours, and they'll just quit until it's better.
Yeah.
And then they'll work out again, but you've worked through it. So kind of start us from the beginning on that.
Yeah, about 5 years ago, right before I joined Red Wolf, I was doing some triathlon sprint distance and was on a bike ride on PCH and slipped and hit a patch of sand and went down and just jammed my arm to my shoulder. And I felt something funny go on. I was like, oh, that feels terrible.
Yeah.
And just, you know, got back on the bike and kept cycling. And whether, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but I had, you know, torn my biceps tendon as well as my rotator cuff and kind of limped with it for a good while. And eventually, you know, kind of it healed, but, you know, it didn't heal the right way, of course.
Right.
You know, so I was always kind of a little limited. And you know, the terrible thing was that I probably should have gone to the doctor at the time, but I didn't. And just kind of work through it. Years later, it just kind of shredded. Time. And then I said, it was fine until it wasn't fine. And then I went in and had it looked at and MRI'd and said, well, you got all this damage and it really needs surgical repair. I was like, okay.
Man.
Scheduled it for February, went in and had I had my biceps tendon reattached and two rotator cuff tendons, tears and reattachments and some anchors and stuff like that in there. So I figured, you know what, I still have two good legs.
Yeah,
and one good arm. And you know, I threw Caitlin a text and said, look, I don't know what I can do. But I guess there's things that, you know, I can't really grab a, you know, can't do a back squat because I can't grab onto the bar in the back. But, you know, she's like, well, we have sleds. I said, yes, we do. Yeah. We have sleds. And their sleds became my friend. But, you know, a week after surgery, when I was, you know, I had some pain medication. So I weaned myself off of that. I was just like, done. And I thought the best thing to do was just move. Right. You know, just get the blood moving, get the body moving, because, yeah, I don't like sitting down so much.
Yeah.
So after a week, I said, I'll see you on Monday, Caitlin. I was like, you know, I don't know what I can do, but just program whatever and I will give it a try.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I think the first day was just a sled pull. I think I had 25 pounds on it.
Okay.
And was just, and I could still do, you know, stuff with my left arm. I just had to be very careful because I couldn't brace.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did a lot of reps, lighter weights, and biked. Did, you know, I was on the Echo bike with one arm. I was on the rowing machine with one arm, and everything. I just did one armed, and you know, still was in a sling for 6 weeks.
Wow! So I was, and you still worked out through it.
Yeah,
no, that's fantastic.
I was still working out. Well, she programmed for me 5 days. I was like, I'm still going 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I still came in for 6 days, and it would alternate, you know, what I could accomplish that day. But I always try to accomplish as much as I possibly could and work as hard as I could with what I had.
Yeah.
And every week got better. And when I would go to the doctor, or I started going to physical therapy after, I think it was 3 weeks, and it was repairing pretty quick. And you know, I attribute it to just getting back in and doing things and moving, getting the blood pumping, get the blood moving, keep the rest of my body, you know, in good health. Because I think that you can you just cash in and sit back and say, well, I'll wait for this thing to be over. But it had a very long road ahead of me, right? So, like I said, I was in a sling for 6 weeks. I was not going to not work out. And I thought, you know, I took care of my body previously, I have to take care of it now. Let's eat right. You know, I just made sure I had all the right foods. I just kicked back a little bit on some of the carbs because, you know, I just wasn't expending as many calories. I just couldn't, you know, with my whole body. So I tried to be very savvy in the nutritional side, as well as working out as hard as I could every single time I was in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just got there, right? This was week by week, things improved. And I'm still not there yet. I still have, so range of motion's probably at 90%.
Okay.
But like, you know, I'm starting to do some moves with the right arm that I'm permitted to do by the doctor and physical therapist. But I think that, you know, when I look at, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
It's better than it was before it was surgically repaired. And I knew it was going to be a long road. And I think you have to just be patient with yourself. And when I come into the gym, it's like, you know, it's me against me. I'm just competing against me today. Can I do better than I did yesterday? Can I do more than I did yesterday? And if I can't, let's at least do as much.
Yeah, 100%. Was there ever a time, especially at the beginning, did you ever have any instance where you kind of struggle with motivation to get into the gym? Or was it like you were just like, let's go, let's get in there?
You mean from post-surgery?
Yeah, post-surgery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Because you know, sleep didn't come very good, and it's hard to wake up tired. And get in. So I was just like, you know, this kind of sucks. I don't feel great. My arm hurts. I didn't sleep well. Why would I want to go into the gym and do more?
Yeah. Especially when you can't do a full on workout right away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there wasn't a lot of things that I could do. There wasn't a lot. So, it wasn't as exciting as some of the moves, you know, I couldn't do power cleans. I couldn't do any of the Olympic moves because I couldn't grab a bar.
Mm.
And those are that's some of the fun stuff, right? But, you know, it's not always going to be fun. I think I have to find the fun in it at the moment because, you know, I was just happy I was moving, and I was happy I was moving in the right direction with my arm and my shoulder getting better. And I knew at the end of that, I'd be much better off, and I would be able to go back into doing CrossFit and get back on the bar, doing toes to bars. But I said to Caitlin, just give me stuff that will do everything that I could do, but I'm not hanging off a bar. So all the hollow moves, hollow body stuff, all the, you know, core things. So I'm actually a lot stronger after 5 months of doing what I have been doing than the previous 5 months of that, like head to toe, which is really kind of bizarre. Yeah. I would have not seen that coming.
No, 100%. And you definitely stuck with it. And I would have never guessed that you struggle with motivation, which is funny. So what kind of walk us through is going through your head when you were struggling with motivation?
Well, what goes through is just, again, you're tired. I could be doing other things. I could be sleeping in more than anything. Maybe I can catch up on my sleep on it because I feel like, you know, like a flaming garbage dumpster going down the street.
That's a good one. I'm going to write that one down.
But I also, you know, it's one of those things where you do it once, you're like, on, oh, I feel so much better. Okay. Wake up the next day, on, okay, I felt better yesterday. Let's do that again today. Right. And especially at the speed of which I was recovering, I could see how fast my arm felt, my shoulder felt, my biceps felt. Everything felt better from day to day. Knowing when I got into the gym and worked, I felt better. And my mood was better. Mm-hmm. Right. Because, you know, I was hopefully getting a little bit of serotonin out of the deal. I did a lot, you know, much more intensive, like, you know, a 20-minute AMRAP of something or an EMOM. And I was just like, it was accomplishing. I was able to accomplish something that day that I didn't think I could always do in that moment. So it was exciting and I felt better. So when I wake up feeling like that flaming dumpster, I was just like, okay, when you get out of Red Wolf, you're going to feel better for it. And you're going to be more productive. You could be able to take on the day more and more present and more energy. So I just went with that.
Yeah.
That became kind of my motivation day after day early on.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really good to know. Thank you for going into detail on that. And what would you tell someone who is kind of like, who does that? We all feel that feeling, right? Of like, oh, I could get more sleep. I could do this instead of working out. Like our brain will always find a way to avoid a task that we know we have to do, but we really don't want to do it, especially if you kind of lose some momentum like that.
Sure.
Like fitness is such a momentum game. So what's some advice you would give someone who is like, who has those kind of feelings creep up on them?
We all feel that way, no matter how accomplished or how perceived, like we do it well and get things done, and that we all feel that way from time to time. So it's okay to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do from there is really up to you. Just get out and do something, get there. The hardest part of going to the gym is getting in the car and going to the gym.
Yeah.
Once you're there, things get better exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
You feel better. The people that are there are excited to be there for the most part.
Within reason.
They just had the same drama of getting to the gym. But I think that's the hardest part is that 15, 20 minutes ride is that you're trying to talk yourself out of it. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm here. I made it. And now I'm excited. You know, people are excited to see you. They're high-fiving. We've got the WOD going on. You've got the explanation. You've got the work to do once you start moving. And it's really, that's the easy part. It's just, you know, is doing the work. And that's the exciting part, is doing the work.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, once I get going, it's like, well, I'm already here. I'm already going. Just finish it. And then once you get momentum, you're like, okay, I feel better. And then I feel even better. And then it's like, and then now I'm like, I'm doing something that I didn't think I could do today. And then that's a huge motivator, too, for momentum, is because you're like, I didn't think I could even work out today. And not only did I work out, I actually, you know, went faster or heavier than I thought I could, and now I feel fantastic. And now I then you you get that reward system over and over again of doing that, and then you're like, well, you know, I've done it before, so I can do it again.
Yeah, and it is a reward. I mean, because if you did it, particularly feeling that you weren't ready for that, or you didn't feel like you could achieve that today, and then you do well, and you actually do a heck of a lot better than you thought, that is quite a reward for you showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's days we don't want to get up and necessarily go to work either. You know, it'd be nice to like, oh, wow, I love to be able to take a vacation day. But you go to work and things go really well and you feel accomplished. I think that's the thing you take into every single day. It's like, what can I accomplish? What can I do? And how can I get through this day with some really great stuff going on?
Right. It's also like, you know, a good piece of advice I got from a mentor of mine was like, it doesn't matter how you feel. The only thing that matters is what you do.
Yeah.
Like, your behavior is the only thing that matters. Like, he's like, you can still do this thing and not like it or not want to do it or not feel like doing it and still do it. So
it's
like, you can still do it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to feel like doing it, but you can still do it.
Oh, for sure. And I think that, you know, when you go in, you can also work toward changing your mindset to those things. If you even think about being more positive toward what you're trying to achieve, is like, you know, making it to the cars, it's like, you know, making excuses to get into the car is going to make it a lot more difficult than saying, how many great things are going to happen when I get into that car and get into the gym? Mm-hmm. I'm going to feel great. And all these other things that sets like your mindset forward into what can I accomplish, how positive and how wonderful this is going to be to your day, versus talking yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Because it is mindset. I mean, you talk about behaviors, you talk about how you feel, but mindset, you can change that mindset instantly by thinking a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Kind of shifting gears here. Can you, can you share one of the most proudest achievements that you've had at the gym specifically?
Oof. There've been so many. I mean, you know, when I came into Red Wolf, there wasn't a lot of CrossFit skills that I had. Like I had a lot of bad habits, which is, you know, is fine. I think we achieve, you know, we accumulate bad habits over time when you don't have a lot of good instruction or coaching. So for me, everything that I achieve, whether it's, you know, my first set of 10 toes to bars, which I got at Red Wolf, which was huge. I've worked on training for an event, a competition, where I came in first in every event, and Caitlin wrote that program for me. And I was really blown away the fact that she put all of the events into my training. Mm-hmm. So every day I had something that I was training toward the event, and I, you know, just slammed it pretty hard when I got there. So I was really proud of that. I mean, it's easy to say one rep max is, yeah, I mean, my one rep max back squat last year was 220. I mean, it's something I never even got close to, or 270 on deadlift, 145 on power. I mean, so those are like things you find in your journal. But I think the things that I'm most proud of is the things that I was able to accomplish with all that working out, with being healthy, I love competition. So when going into competition, doing really well and winning them, which is my goal. And I think those are the things, and representing and holding the sign up at first place Red Wolf, for me is, you know, to represent the gym is really gratifying.
No, that's awesome. No, that's fantastic. I remember when that happened, and it was really cool because, from our standpoint, we always don't know if the program's actually going to work. There's a lot of trial and error. Like, I mean, I'm being completely transparent. Like, you know, you can never predict it, right? Like, you know, we're all terrible at predicting the future regardless. So,
sure.
we always try and dial that in to the point where it's like, we try and make it unreasonable to the point where, you know, it's unreasonable that you wouldn't be successful. So how do we do that? So, you know, and how do we plan around that, with especially with time constraints, with scheduling and everything. So, I'm really proud that we were able to help you accomplish that. So, I mean, you're the one who ended up doing it. You followed through and you did it. So, which is awesome.
Well, you have to trust the process too. I mean, when you get a workout, you get a whole training for the day, and then there's things in there that are accessories that just feel rather mundane, that aren't quite as exciting to do as, you know, the main workout. But, you know, after you're doing them for 6-8 weeks, all of a sudden you're getting stronger, and then then your toes to bar is a heck of a lot better, or you're doing more pull-ups because you're doing a lot more rows and pulling movements. You see how it connects, but at the time it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. Is this really going to work?
It's not really exciting, but okay.
Yeah. And I mean, fitness in general can be kind of unexciting. I mean, CrossFit can be more exciting because of the intensity and the variety, and the fact that, you know, you can work on, there's so many different things to work on, which makes it fun.
Yeah.
So what's, I guess, what would be your advice to someone also who just doesn't like fitness in the first place and gets bored really easily doing some of these mundane things?
Yeah, and, you know, the great part, you know, when you say constantly varied in CrossFit, you know, it is constantly varied. Like, no 2 days are alike. And I think that if you're bored easily coming in, and I'd say, you know, I don't know how much time you have, and I don't know what, but just go 3 days a week to CrossFit. It's never going to be like the same workout. It's going to be different. You'll feel like you've hit every body part, and you'll get a lot out of it. And if you're not into all that working out stuff, you're getting a lot out of those 3 days, and be consistent. Just go with 3 days and run with it. Do your, give it your all for those, and you will be surprised what can do, what it can do for your fitness and just your overall, even your body composition.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Yeah, that's the whole reason I got into CrossFit in the first place, was I was so bored. I was like, I need something that, that, you know, gets me excited to work out, you know, that's fun and that will make me actually want to do this every day. Because, you know, I started with like kind of a traditional bodybuilding style, and then you know, I got great, great progress, and it was fun for a while. But then I was like, am I really like going to do this for like for the rest of my life? I got to figure something else out. And then that's when I stumbled upon CrossFit.com. So,
yeah.
What was, over your entire fitness journey, what is the biggest obstacle that you had to overcome, and how did you do it?
For me, it's always been finding the time. So I shouldn't say finding time, it's making the time. You know, making the time work, it's always been a huge obstacle, just because whether I've been at a company that requires certain, you know, traveling, then that travel expanded, and then travel changed. It was always trying to fit that into a hotel workout twice a week. The second thing I think being is that I've always had, well, I've had my knee replaced. I've had shoulder surgery now. I've had, you know, just, I tweaked my shoulder a couple of years ago. Actually, that one was CrossFit that I, that was an overhead squat that jammed it. But for the most part, I've never injured it during CrossFit. But I think those are some of the obstacles that you're going to tweak something. And how do you work around that? And how do you continue to move forward with it? And that being said, is that, you know, you just keep doing it. You just don't do that one thing that, that agitates it. And you know, I worked with somebody who was in our gym who did some physical therapy work, and I got her programming, and that really helped my hip at one point. So I was able to squat better. But I think that, you know, just you have a body and it's never going to be perfect. You know, I'm not 20. I'm not even close to it. So I'm not going to heal in the blink of an eye. So I think just being very cautious of not ego lifting, eating right, getting enough rest, and doing all the right things to be able to allow me to enjoy working out over the years. Like I said, I had done short course triathlon, and I didn't know how to swim, really. I mean, I'm a terrible swimmer. I think my first triathlon, I did the backstroke. And
hey, at least you did it.
Right. But I was like, this sounds really exciting, really different. And my personal trainer at the time was a triathlon coach, and he was actually Olympic triathlon in his age group. And he got me into it, and it was a lot of fun, and it was really intense, and it was very mind challenging, which I love. It makes, you know, gives you a stronger outlook and things. I think that translated into doing CrossFit, in that it's very challenging mentally, but just in a shorter time frame, right? I don't have to do 2 hours worth of swimming or 2 hours worth of running, or I should say 2 hours worth of biking. And doing, you know, that really took a lot of time.
And yeah. It does take time.
But I got, you know, so much more out of the amount of hour and 15 minutes of CrossFit than I could ever have done out of triathlon.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing. I'm glad you brought that up too, because I think it's easy for me to forget, especially just because I've done it for so long, is that CrossFit saves me so much time. And also, like, the endorphins I get from it, hard for me to do anything other than that. Because believe me, there are times where I go through phases where I take a break from doing, not necessarily take a full-on break, but I only do like two or three CrossFit workouts a week, and I'll just kind of do traditional stuff, like just lifting or cardio work. But then it'll take me even longer to do it, and I still don't get like that endorphin rush out of it. So I don't really feel, I mean, I feel better, but not that much better.
Yeah.
When I do a full-on CrossFit workout, just for some reason, I don't know what it is. Like, either it's the endorphins I get after, or it's just the fact that my brain actually literally turns off during a workout, and all I care about is the next rep or the next distance. Like, I don't think about anything else, so it gets very meditative for me.
Sure.
That I just get so much more out of it, both mentally and physically.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've been able to get that out of a lot of workouts, whether it's, you know, as triathlon training, you spend a lot of time by yourself, and so you can clear out your mental slate. But because CrossFit is so intense, like, you just can't have a mind wander. You have to stay focused on that present moment of whether that rep, whether your form, whether it's, you know, how many calories you're putting out and then going into the next step. I think that you have to be very much more present, very, very present within your body to get through, not only without injury, but to do it right and get the most out of it.
Awesome. Fantastic, Sharon. Last question for you before we wrap things up. So let's say someone's on the fence about either joining Red Bull specifically or starting their CrossFit journey or starting even just, you know, dabbling into the functional fitness world. What's some advice you would give them?
I would say just, you know, go to a class, be open-minded, and particularly with Red Wolf, say, you know, you're in the hands of people who are vested in your journey and your outcome as much as you are. They will make sure that you do the movements correctly, because it can be very intimidating. When I talk about CrossFit to anybody who'll listen to it, because that's what we do, is that they're intimidated by it. It's a lot of moves. And the only reference point they have is the CrossFit Games, which, you know, you look at that and nobody would think, I can't do that.
Yes.
But that's not what really everyday CrossFit in any CrossFit gym is just average people working really hard.
Yep.
And go in, try it out, stay with it, give yourself a month. Just go, you know, understand, if 3 days a week, give that a shot, make it your best 3 days. And you will learn so much. You'll learn so much about how to train. You'll learn so much, but you'll do it in a very compact amount of time. So if you'll get a lot out of that hour, you'll be able to take on the rest of your day, and just do it. I would say just do it, because standing back and watching it isn't going to make you any better.
Yeah.
And it's not going to make you any fitter, and it's not going to make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
If you really want change and you want to be fit, try CrossFit. And if you really want great coaching and great programming, go to Red Wolf.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the review.
I'll pass the 20 a little bit later.
Thank you so much, Sharon, for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me.
It was great having you. Thank you for sharing your story. That was awesome. Thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a review so that way we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit, and feel free to DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.